Everybody know what day it is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Resurrection Day.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
This is a great day.
Amen.
You know what's really great about it?
What?
It happened a really long time ago.
Yeah.
But he's still alive.
Yeah.
He lives, right?
Amen.
He lives. He lives.
Yes.
He lives. You know why that's important for us? Anybody? Because it really wouldn't make a difference if he didn't, right?
Right.
It all falls apart if Christ didn't raise from the grave.
Right.
That's the importance of Resurrection Day. Because he lives, we live.
Amen.
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 Because he lives. This class is going to be called Because He Lives, Healing in His Name. We have so much, right? Because he lives. All the promises of God are for us because he lives. He came as a man like us to live the life, to fulfill everything, so we could have his life. And we have it all because he lives. This day, I've been thinking about it all week long. This day reminds me everything we have is because he lives. And I don't know how you can look at Easter and not think of how awesome and wonderful it is that one event changed everything. Even the death on the cross wasn't enough. He had to raise. He had to raise. We have life. We have everything because he lives. And he says we have healing in his name because he lives. So we're going to dig into that this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, open our ears, open our hearts to see what we have in your name, to see that we have healing in your name, that who we are, our authority in Jesus' name, so we'd understand what it means when we invoke the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to teach us. We rely on it. We count on it. Because that's who you are. You said you are our counselor, you are our teacher, and we know that you will, with our open hearts, teach us the word this morning. In Jesus' name. There it is,
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Right?
Hallelujah.
But sometimes we get into this thing where we're like tacking in Jesus' name on the end of everything. But do we know why we do that? So maybe we do. Maybe it's sometimes it's just what you do. But we can't start looking at it as the magic word, like abracadabra, that you put on the end of something so you get stuff, right? Because that is absolutely not what it is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, go to John chapter 14. Man, this is good. This is good. I know we heard it all before, but if this doesn't get your fire going, your wood's wet, I can't help it. I know I'm stealing it, but it's so good. John chapter 14, verse 12. Right off the bat, what's the first two words it says?
Most assuredly.
Most assuredly. What is he saying when he says most assuredly?
Verily.
Okay.
You can have no doubt,
most assuredly, you can count on what I'm getting ready to tell you. Absolute truth, most assuredly, what I'm getting ready to tell you is absolute. Right? So that gives credence to this verse right off the bat. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How awesome is that? Do you look at, he said, most assuredly, you can count on this. This isn't just something that's just a pass-by thing to say. He said, most assuredly. When you believe and you ask in my name, it will be done. Now, some people focus on this verse about the greater things, right? I mean, you read that. And some people actually even use that to say that Jesus doesn't do miracles anymore, right? Because now he's into greater things.
Yeah.
All right, wait a minute. Let's think about what are the things Jesus did? Healed the sick.
Raise the dead,
cleanse the leper,
cast out devils,
the blind can see, got taxes from fish,
yeah.
Cook breakfast,
that's right,
pancakes or
yeah,
fish cakes,
yeah,
doesn't sound like a great breakfast, but okay, yeah. Jesus is cooking, I guess, okay.
But the statement was, right? We should and we could, should and, excuse me, can and should be doing these same works, right? Because that's what the work said, these same works. God hasn't changed. Who did then?
He did.
If God's not the one that changed, somebody in the equation is the one that's missing the mark, right? I don't think God misses the mark too often. Probably never.
Yeah.
So that leaves one place to point, right?
Right.
Okay. No condemnation, right? Just means maybe we got some growing to do.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, he wants to grow us.
Right?
Until we accomplish these same works that Jesus did, we shouldn't really even be worrying about the greater works, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but raising people from the dead, casting out demons, healing the sick. Whatever the greater stuff is, I'd be pretty happy right there in that lane.
Yeah.
Like, how many times have you walked through Walmart or something and saw somebody with a big goiter on the back of their head or something, and your heart broke because you just wanted to go over to them and, in Jesus' name, be healed? You know? But somehow things just aren't flowing and it's not happening. It's supposed to be happening. Some of that is people need to receive. Did you have something to say, Carol?
I heard a comment about the greater works, and I think it's kind of true that he couldn't give anybody eternal life.
I mean, he had to go to the cross and raise. He had to be risen, right?
Yeah, right. Well, we can, when we speak to people, we have the ability to lead them to Christ and give them eternal life.
There's lots of things the greater works could be. But he says, these things that he does, we should be doing. So I think we should be people who focus on the first before we focus on the last. Not that we shouldn't focus on all the word, but right now we're going to focus, this is healing class, so we're going to talk about the things he did as far as healing are concerned, right? Unless you got these things flowing in your life on a regular basis, then we got work to do still. So why do you think we don't see more of this? I mean, here at this church, we do see quite a bit of healing. And I've seen quite a bit of it in my life. It's like the ebb and flow. You know, there's these times when, you know, it seems like every time I turn around, I'm praying for somebody and they're getting better and, you know, things are going great. And then I got these other times, it seems like every time I pray for somebody, nothing happens. Excuse me. So why don't we see it more?
Unbelief.
Unbelief?
Fear.
Fear? Fear is a good one.
Some vessels need more repair than others.
One more time.
Some vessels need more repair than others.
Okay.
We may not see them, what needs to be repaired, and they may be getting what they need, but we don't see it.
Sometimes healing is a process and it doesn't happen immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just before that, very, very, it says, believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And so that's the key. I think to being able to do this is understanding that we're not separate from him anymore.
Mm. Yep.
You know, we're what, you know, believe that he's in us.
Absolutely. Getting ahead of the teaching a little bit, but absolutely, it's quite all right. Well, let me ask you this. Where's your focus? Where's your focus? Is it on just getting through your day? Got to go to work, got these things I got to do, chores I got to get done. Is that where your focus is? Or is your focus on involving him in your day? Right? Because you could go through your day and get your day done without really giving the Lord a whole lot of thought. We're kind of like on autopilot. You ever like drive home and you get home and you're like, I don't remember the last 7 turns I made. Mm-hmm. It's just autopilot. You're so used to doing it, you're like, I don't even remember going down that street. You did. You're home. You know? But is that the best way to go through life, just on autopilot? Mm-hmm. Where's your focus? Do you have purpose in your day as you go out? Lord, I got my job to do today. But show me where I can touch somebody's life for the better for you while we're at it. Help me, Father. This is my prayer that I pray pretty much every day. Father, help me to see the spiritual more clearly than the natural so that I can live in the natural by the Spirit.
All right.
The natural is not eternal. So we need to be seeing what's forever and for real more clearly than this. And if that's your focus, you're more apt to hear when God has an appointment for you, right? When you start seeing the possibility of God healing somebody through your hands, then you'll start seeing it in the natural as well. If you don't see it on the inside first, you're not going to see it on the outside. If you don't dream about doing it, you're not thinking about it very much. Flowing in the things of God should permeate your being so much because it's so natural. The supernatural life should be the supernormal life for the Christian. It should be things that go through your mind all the time. The first time you get a headache, the first thing you should be thinking isn't, where's the aspirin? It should be, God's got this. I don't know what you're trying to do to my head, but you don't belong. Because that's the truth. That's the supernormal life we should have. So you need to start envisioning the things of God that are supposed to be happening through the believer, happening through your life. Not just know it in your head or in your heart, but get it from your heart into your head also to where you think about it even when you sleep. There's many things that have happened in my life that God gave me a vision of beforehand through natural things. For instance, when I was close to 450 pounds, I know I'm a little guy now, but when I was a lot bigger and I knew that I was on a journey with the Lord to lose weight, the Lord had me walk by. I was just walking through a parking lot one day and my reflection was in a bumper of a car and it stretched me out. It's silly, right? But I saw myself thin in that thing. And the Lord said, that's where you're headed. Boom. I knew where I was going. I saw it with my physical eyes there. And I heard the voice of the Lord say. And faith was ignited. We were already on the process. But now I had something to look for. And we got there. Okay, some people teach against miracles, saying the more is being able to spread the gospel. Many more ways, you know, us as many people, more than just Jesus by himself, right? There's lots of different things, as we've talked about already, that they could have been. But like he said, if we're not doing the same works that he did, then I don't think our focus needs to be on the greater stuff. It is what it is. It could be that now, you know, salvation is available. It could be that us many are better than just the one. All those things are great and they're fine. But let's focus on what he said, right? It's very clear that as long as there are believers, the same miraculous power that the world recorded operating through Jesus will also operate through those who believe. And like we said, failure to see these miracles and power of God in our lives is not God's fault. We need to be people that pursue the things of God. We need to pursue them. Don't just assume they're going to happen. You need to pursue. Remember he said that my Father will be glorified? So when healing is performed through your hands, who gets the glory? Not you, right? He said these things would happen so that my Father would be glorified. So pursue after them. If you love the Father and you want to glorify Him, that's one way you can glorify Him. Allow Him to use you in healing. It glorifies Him.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to John 14 still, chapter 12.
John 14, chapter 12.
John 14, verse 12. I'm always good. I'm dyslexic with words sometimes. I give the wrong, you know, the backwards and forwards and stuff, but John 14, same place, right?
Same place, same. Okay.
Again, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than those he will do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. And that you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So looking at that, he makes it extra clear in verse 12, 13, and 14, right?
Right.
In 12, he says, most assuredly, the works that I do, you will do. 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. And 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do. So if there's any doubt whether or not these things should still be happening through the believers, those three verses are almost like exclamation points, aren't they?
Yeah.
He's like driving that point home, is he not? Three different times, right at the end of those verses that we already saw. It's like he wanted to make sure it was extra clear.
Usually when it drives a point home in three times, it means something.
All right. Well, anybody have kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you usually just tell your kids something once and you're all done?
No.
And if you really want them to get the point, you maybe say it more than once?
Names.
Yeah, right? You use all three of their names if you really want to get their attention, right? When my mom used to call Johnny, I knew she wanted me, but like I didn't really need to pay a whole lot of attention. But when it was Johnny Clarence Johnson,
you were like,
I knew a shoe was getting ready to be thrown. And she was quick. She could have that thing off. She had these two things she did that I hated. She could have that shoe off and toss it at you like that. And if I had a dirty face, it was this. Come here. Mom spit, right? I can still smell it. It just, to this day, every time I think of that, I'm like, come here. Yo, and the same thing, spit on your hair too. Yeah. You see this little colic I got here? That's probably from mom spit. Yep. There are certain qualifications, right? Let's get into that. The promise, even though they aren't stated, if you look at Matthew 21, 22, it says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So, one, we need to believe when we ask, right? If you go lay hands on somebody and command healing and you don't believe it's going to happen, what's going to happen? What you believe, right? You're going to get what you believe. I don't believe it's going to happen, and you're right. Right? Again, it's about pursuing, seeing these things. You need to see it. Believe it's going to happen. The more you focus on it, the more you're going to see it, the more you're going to believe it. And when you lay hands, you'll know it's being done.
Right.
James 1, 6 through 7 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Some things? So if your faith is not good, could you maybe some? Like maybe partial? It says anything, right? I know a blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then. But do you want to rely on that? For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Therefore, faith is a prerequisite to receiving whatever stated or not in these verses. So we should still be doing these things, but it depends on us. Remember I said, where's your focus? Are you just going through your day to get through your day? Are you going through your day with purpose? Lord, I invite you, and I can do my job on my own. I've been doing it for years. I can be on autopilot. But I'm going to do my job better if I'm inviting him into it, right? And I'm going to recognize when somebody needs a touch from God in my daily life if I've invited him into my day. Not just going on autopilot.
That'd be dangerous with what you do.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember I said, you know, you don't remember how you drove to get home?
Yeah.
I don't remember how I got this thing finished on him. I was, you did want a panther, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. All right. Okay, so we also have to ask according to God's will. And we can find in John, 1 John 5. You know, can somebody go there for me? 1 John 5, 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Anybody there?
1 John
5, 14 and 15.
I have King James.
King James?
You can read that.
And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request which we have asked from him. His Amplified version itself.
The version of many words.
Yes.
Anybody got a different version?
I have King James.
Shoot.
Okay. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will.
Right there. Wait. According to what?
To his will.
According to his will.
He hears us.
He hears us. How do you know his will?
His word.
What is the Bible?
It's Jesus.
It's his word. But what does it do for us?
Gives us that absolute knowledge.
Yep. All those things. What else does it do?
Truth.
Does it not reveal God's character and nature?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So once you know somebody, you know what you can count on and not count on, right?
Yeah.
Do we all have friends like that that always say things?
Yeah.
And you know, I can count on this or I can't count on this because the guy always comes through or never comes through, right? The word will show you God's nature, his character, his love. And when you know his love, his nature, and his character, you will know his will. You will also hear his voice, because not just everything is written out in the word. I bought a truck this week. I couldn't find anywhere in the Bible where it said, Johnny, go buy a truck. I've been seeking him for a month or so now on this whole deal. I'm serious, because he told me don't buy the truck I had. My lease was coming up, and I kept hearing, don't buy that truck. So I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, there is no verse, in, you know, right?
Right.
So I need to hear.
Yeah.
I need to hear his word on that. I know his character. I know his love. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening. Mm-hmm. And when he speaks, I can count on it. So when I got the word, okay, go take a look now. He told me, what's in your heart? What do you want? And I'm like, are you sure? I mean, you didn't want me to buy the other truck. I got that, but are you sure what's in my heart is, like, okay?
You already knew that. That's why I asked you.
Because he knew. He knew. I mean, I talked to Blake a couple months ago about looking into Rangers, but I didn't have peace about it yet. I was still in that whole reasoning thing that never works. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So when I asked him, or when he told me, what's in your heart? And I'm like, hey, I was looking at the Rangers a couple months ago and you said stop. He's like, go ahead, go look. And he worked out a great deal. And we should have that thing paid off faster than we should, than normal. And no more leasing. So I'm off that merry-go-round of always being in debt. Once this thing's paid off, this thing's going to last me, praise the Lord, 15 years or better, right? The way I drive, I don't put very many miles in. We need to be praying and seeking and doing His will. You need to know His will. You may want things that aren't necessarily His will for you, and if you can speak it all day long. Chances are it's not going to happen. Sometimes He lets those things happen to teach you lessons. Like, all right, you keep on pushing, so go ahead. And then you look back later and go like, oh, I should have quit pushing on that door. So let me ask you this. Since this is healing class, is healing His will?
Yes.
What the heck are we doing here if not, right?
Right.
Did Jesus ever turn anybody down for healing?
No.
Is He the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Then what did He tell us to go do?
Same things He did.
Mm-hmm. All right, we just read it. The same things He did we should be doing. And because it glorifies who?
The Father.
Glorifies the Father.
Right.
So we know healing, it's in His word, right?
Yeah.
We know it's in His nature. We know it's in His character. Mm-hmm. What good father, if he had the ability to heal you, would say no?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can you picture your own kids being sick and you being like, serves you right? I mean, even if you're mad at your kids,
right,
you don't want them to stay sick, right?
No.
If you had the possibility to make sure, and listen, you do. Your kids, you have an authority over their lives.
Yeah.
Take that authority. What good father would say, oh, well, sorry. He created us. He's not going to tell you no. It's not my will. I want you sick. That's not His will. So we already talked about this. Jesus wasn't just giving people a magic abracadabra word to tack on the end of anything. Right?
Right.
So when we say in Jesus' name, what are we really talking about? Since it's not an abracadabra thing.
It's His authority.
It's His authority, right? Who are you? Who are you?
I'm a little Jesus.
You are. Yeah, we got time. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. This is one of those passages of scripture I look at and I'm like, I would have liked to have been there just to kind of see this, you know?
Yeah.
Acts chapter 19, starting at verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. Oh, wait a minute. Was Paul a guy? He was a man?
Yes.
And God worked miracles through his hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you in the name of whom those are, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, the Jewish chief priests who did so. And here's where it gets interesting. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? Who are you? Did they have authority?
No.
Why?
They
didn't believe, right?
Right.
They weren't followers. They just saw something working and they said, there's a recipe book right there. I follow the words that they use, abracadabra. Right?
Right?
And things are going to work.
No.
Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Maybe you shouldn't picture that. But I can't help but picture it. And it's a funny sight in my mind. I'm sorry. But we're talking about authority, right? It's not a recipe book. The Bible, listen. Three times, so it's important, right? We talked about that. Do not use the Bible as a recipe book. Jesus didn't do the same things over and over to heal people, did he?
No.
It was always personal. It was always something different. Why? Because it's not a recipe. Your relationship with the Lord is personal and unique. And everything he wants to do in your life, listen, it'll never stop being unique. He will never run out of new things and new ways of doing stuff. If you're just trying to do it the way somebody else did it, you know what? You're the only you there is. And God wants you to be you and use you the way you are. Do not use the Bible as a recipe book. Use it to know the Father's character, to know his love, so that you can have faith when you hear his voice to speak out and see it done. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not in no way telling you don't read the Word and believe what the Word says and speak what the Word says. I'm saying don't use it as a recipe. Read the Word. It's going to encourage you. It's going to lift you up. It's going to help you hear his voice. And when you hear it, it'll help you judge whether it's him or not.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I know Kitty. We've been married going on 34 years. We spend so much time together. I know her. If somebody comes and tells me something that doesn't line up, it doesn't fly. Doesn't fly. I know her. I know her character. I know her because I spend so much time with her. You can't fly anything by that it's not true. The Word helps you know him so well that falsehood is not going to fly. John 16. I don't know about the rest of you, but this really gets me flying, this part here. John 16, 23. So we went to, Jesus said, ask in my name and it'll be done so the Father will be glorified, right? He was talking to the disciples that were with him right then, right? So why do you think he said, ask me and it'll be done? He was there with him, right? But he wasn't going to stay there with him, right? He was going to go to the Father. So Jesus was always about connecting that fatherhood again, right? Mm-hmm. Bringing us back to the Father. How did Jesus operate? He knew the Father. He heard the Father and he did what the Father said. His whole point for us was to connect us not just to him, but to the Father through him so we can hear the Father's voice. We shouldn't be going through life looking at God as a judge and not a daddy. He's the best father there ever was. It's all throughout Scripture, but you have to look for it. The Old Testament makes it hard to see, and I struggled with that for a lot of years. But then in the New Testament, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Everything he did showed the Father. When the woman who was caught in adultery was brought before him, and he says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. That's the Father. Father wasn't looking to stone her. When the disciples said, they didn't like you over there. Let us cast fire. Let us call fire from heaven and just burn them up. What did Jesus say?
You don't know what spirit you are of.
I didn't come to do that. I come to save people.
Yep.
Right? John 16, 23. And in that day you will ask me, what? Wait a minute. That's not what he said a few minutes ago. We're looking at two different times though, right?
Right.
He's there with them. Ask me. I'm going to the Father. Now what do you do?
Ask the Father.
In that day, you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly. Well, here we are again. Wait a minute. What's the next words?
Most assuredly.
Most assuredly. There it is again. What did we say earlier? Most assuredly means what? You can count on this. This is not just hearsay, most assuredly. What I'm getting ready to say now, you can count on. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive, that your joy will be full. We have direct link to the Father. Jesus' whole purpose was to bring peace between God and man. You have peace with your daddy because he's what? Today?
Risen.
He is alive because he lives. You have peace with the Father. And you can talk to him directly because you are what? In Jesus. See, this great thing happened. God didn't need us. He wanted us. Love needs to reproduce. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit had perfect love, perfect harmony. They did not need us, but they wanted to share their love with an offspring. Just like when a man and woman get married, do they need children? I don't know, man. If you got a lot of grass to mow, maybe you do. Right, Ron? But why mainly do people have children? To share their love with. Man, this is what Jesus was trying to show them. This is why they wanted to kill him. He's like, your father, my father, your father. And they're like, oh, you don't want to talk about like that with God, about God. We need to kill this guy. They got so religious, right? God doesn't want to be your judge. He says, even in the end, I won't judge it, but the words that Jesus spoke, that'll be your judge. The word's already said. It'll judge you. God's your daddy. He sees the good in you. He wants the good for you. He wants you healthy. He wants you walking in divine health. He wants you whole. He wants you prospered. Jesus paid a huge price for all that to be possible in your life. Ephesians 5, and you don't have to go there because we're running out of time. 5:30 says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bone. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. I looked that up in the Greek to see what flesh and bone meant. Anybody have a clue?
Flesh and bone.
It meant flesh and bone. It just said did. It meant flesh and bone. I'm looking for some spiritual thing like, hey, what's going on here? So I look it up and it says, flesh and bone. We're members of his body, of his flesh and bone. You know what that means? We are the physical representation of Jesus Christ walking on this earth. When you see yourself as the physical representation of Jesus and you lay hands on the sick, what's going to happen? You have authority. You have power. You and Jesus are one. You are his physical manifested body here in us. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit said, come on in. We love you. Come on in. Everywhere you go, you got the Father, you got the Son, you got the Holy Spirit, and I'm stuck right in the middle of it. Wow, is that a powerful place to be? When you recognize yourself like that, do you think it's going to be harder or easier to love people that are less than what you like them to be? I was thinking like I was going to say lefties or something, and, yeah. And I don't mean like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being honest with you, right? We see a lot of things coming in this country right now that we don't agree with, mm-hmm. And it's usually coming from a liberal left. Mm-hmm. And man, I tell you what, if my focus is not right, I look at them and all I see is their sin, not as children that God loves. Maybe pre-Christians.
Yeah.
Maybe Christians that are stuck and don't know. But if we're not focused and we're not paying attention, what good are we going to be to either? We need to be listening. Maybe they need healing. Can I minister to healing to them if all I see is their sin? He's a good, good daddy. And we are Jesus' physical body here on earth. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What's the church?
We are.
It's not the building, right?
No.
So what did it just say?
We are falling into bone and flesh.
This is a great mystery, but he's speaking, right? Man and woman become married, they become one flesh. Christ and the church? Sweet tea.
Yeah.
Sweet tea. If you pour sugar in cold tea, what do you get? It's a tea that looks like it has dandruff, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you put sugar in hot tea while it's boiling, what happens? It becomes part of the tea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot separate it. As a Christian, Jesus and I, sweet tea.
Okay. Yeah.
Sweet tea. Try to pull me out of him. Can't do it. Can't do it. We're one.
Amen.
And that's how God sees us. Sweet tea. Think about that next time. Your sweet tea.
Yeah.
Sweetie. Colossians 2:6. Again, don't go there. We don't have time. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That's the part I was talking about earlier. Remember? Have purpose. Don't just go through your day. Walk in him. Choose to make sure you're walking in him every day. You are, but recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men and basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Like we were just talking about, some people are focusing on, oh, you shouldn't be healing the sick. That was back then. Now we're on to the greater things, which are whatever. Whatever their purpose for telling you miracles don't happen anymore, right? For in him, dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are what?
Complete
in him. I told you don't even go there, and I'm asking you what? That just shows how good you guys are with the word, you know. It's already in you, you know. That is Colossians 2:6 through 10.
Okay.
And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete. If you're complete, what are you lacking?
Nothing.
So what's your excuse?
None.
Remember, if the mark is not being hit and God never makes a mistake, I got some work to do on me.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Don't let religion steal who you are. When you say, now think about this. When you say in Jesus' name, when it comes to healing or whatever the promises of God are, okay, but this is healing class, so we're focusing on healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you say in Jesus' name, it's as if coming through the mouth of Jesus through your mouth. Why? Sweet tea. Sweet tea.
Yeah.
Do you believe? Right? Without wavering. You know his will. So when you speak it, I'm one with him. It's Jesus speaking through my mouth. When you see that authority and that power because of who you are, then you use his name because you are one with him. It's not a magic word to tack on the end of something. It's because who you are. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm out of time. Father, in Jesus' name, take this message of who we are in you and solidify it, Father. Let us be people who walk with a purpose every single day to see what you are doing in the world, that we see the spiritual more clearly than the natural so that we can live in the natural by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.